This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, Foreign Currency, RF Bank and Trust, Ross Insurance, and Scotiabank.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that all is well with you and with yours. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. From the farm, the islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on DTC Flow Channel 612. So let me give you a little lay of the land today. We are going to talk about a couple of issues around the continuing spate of murders in the country. We do that up until the news hour. After the news hour, I have some special guests to speak about some things that they are doing. And then after that, I have a question for you that hopefully we'll have an opportunity to delve into the answer. Okay, so there you go. The opposition is calling for the resignation of the Minister of National Security in light of the situation in the country involving murder. Mr. Shannon Cartwright, who I believe is the Shadow Minister of National Security, is calling on the minister to resign. He says the Bahamian people, unfortunately, no longer have confidence that the Minister of National Security has the capacity and ability to lead the ministry in this time of national crisis. Said the Free National Movement Deputy Leader, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, in a statement, and this is according to a report by Rachel Scott of the Nassau Guardian. Of course, I saw the press release myself, too. Says the opposition calls on the Minister of National Security to resign and more capable and effective replacement be appointed in his stead. So I heard a fair amount of responses to this call by the deputy leader of the Free National Movement and member of parliament for St. Barnabas. And first of all, let me say, on previous occasions, I have regarded calls for the resignation of ministers as pretty much useless for the most part. I have. Why is that? Firstly, how many times have you heard a call for a minister to resign and the minister actually resigned? Is there anyone who can recall a call for the minister to resign and the minister actually resigned. And now bear in mind, I'm not talking about you make a call for the minister to resign and the circumstances became so untenable that essentially and effectively, this is what happened. The prime minister says, minister, you need to resign. The minister ain't resigning because you ask him to resign. The prime minister has to come to a point where he says, you know what? You are causing me more issues than not, and therefore, we need to settle this that way. If you could recall a situation where a minister resigned because the opposition asked him to resign, I'd be happy to hear it. I'd be happy to hear it. I know of circumstances where a prime minister says to the minister, listen, man, you try to fight this along, and that is very rare, even. So ministers are not going to oblige you by resigning. They're not. It almost better for you to ask the prime minister to fire the minister than for you to ask the minister to resign. Because it ain't happen. It's not gonna happen. Right? Secondly, I don't take lightly the minister to resign. I do not. It is not light. And if you are asking a minister to resign, there has to be really substantial reasons to do so. Reasons like what? You have to accuse and have evidence that the minister has broken the law. Broken the law. A minister who breaks the law cannot continue as minister. You have to demonstrate that the minister has lost moral authority to lead because he or she has violated the public trust in some ethical manner or some manner of immense incompetence. You have to be able to demonstrate that, right? Break the law, lose moral authority, or lose public trust as a result of that moral authority being breached, or because of some demonstrated level of incompetence that says, you know, the public doesn't trust you. Now, the shadow minister says the public has lost trust. Based on what? I'm not saying he's wrong, but based on what, though? He said, did he take a poll? What is it that he draws on to say that? See, for me, this is... Careful, you gotta be careful, right? See, the government, you be in government, if you get in government, I could get out there and say, well, public don't have no confidence in the prime minister no more of the FNM. And that'd be based on what? On my say so? Because I walk around the corner and a couple of people say so. So if you can demonstrate through polling that there is a loss in confidence based on polling, then that becomes a piece of evidence to support that, because if the public loses confidence in a minister, that's a good reason for the minister to resign. That is, really it is. If a minister loses public trust, that's a good reason to resign. In fact, if a government loses the confidence of a people, it's a good reason for the government to resign, because that's why you can vote of no confidence. It's the public don't have confidence in you, and we as representatives of the public do not have confidence in you. So that'll be a good reason, but it has to be evidenced. So when we make calls for ministers to resign without substantive, supportive reasons, you know what happens? It becomes flippant. And so it becomes a part of the toy toolbox of politicians where you just, I don't like how things go, ask for them to resign. Then nobody takes resignation seriously anymore, calls for it. They just go, oh, yeah, well, there you go. Another one, call for resignation. No. If you take it seriously and you regard it as something not likely to be taken, they tell you have a body of evidence and substance and logic that says, under the circumstances, don't call for the minister to resign. Call for the prime minister to fire him, because every minister serves at the pleasure of the prime minister. And I dare believe very few ministers at all would resign unless people ask them to. Say, prime minister, you need to fire that minister. Here's the reason why. Right? And then the prime minister, because even if a minister tenders his resignation, the prime minister does not have to receive it. I've seen ministers resign prematurely. I believe that Dwayne Sands resigned prematurely when he was in the minister's administration. He should never have resigned. He should have waited, if anything, for Prime Minister Minister fire him. Because the whole circumstances surrounding the reason why he resigned was because it was not on him. But he took the fall. He fell on that sword, and he should not have. So I've seen premature resignations by ministers. But ministers resigning because you call them to resign, that's not God. In the circumstances we now face, let's look at it. We have the slate of murders. Right? We have the slate of murders. The shadow minister says, because people no longer have confidence in him. He says, as the unfortunate spate of murders continues to rise in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the government seems to be paralyzed in its ability to address the daily bloodshed. Well, if the government is paralyzed to address the daily bloodshed, why are you blaming the minister? Have what we call a cabinet government. And the shadow minister says that the government seems paralyzed. Well, then why not call on the government? Resign. Let them go back to the people and see if they can get a new mandate. He says the Bahamian people are angered and dismayed at the ministerial leadership at the Ministry of National Security is not bringing the results as promised by the Davis administration. The minister is not bringing the results as promised by the Davis administration. Do you see what's going on there? It's the Davis administration that promised to bring the bridge, but you say the minister is not bringing that result, and therefore he should resign. No, the Davis administration should resign if that is the premise of your argument. So let's look, right? Because we do have it wrong in many instances. We do. And our cabinet minister can bring a solution to a broad national problem. No cabinet minister. His or her responsibility is to lead the execution of government policy in that area. Do you want me to say it again? His responsibility is not to lead her policy in that area. His or her responsibility is to lead the government's policy in that area. Now, this is where ministers are sometimes getting it wrong. Ministers sometimes play like they are chief commander without collective responsibility in their ministries, and therefore they act like that. And therefore, when people blame them because they act that way. But a minister is a collective agent of an executive called the Cabinet of the Bahamas that, according to the Constitution, has direction, general direction. And so it's government policy. Government policy. And I heard some discussions about how things work and what have you. A minister is ultimately responsible for the execution of government policy in a ministry. A minister is ultimately responsible for the execution of government policy in a ministry. And if the minister is deemed by the prime minister who appoints him as ineffective in the leadership and direction of government policy in that ministry, then the prime minister will call upon that minister either to resign or to be moved somewhere else so that he can appoint someone else he believes may be more effective to do so. But the minister is the ultimate authority on government policy in that area. Not a permanent secretary, not the prime minister. Can I say that again? In the ministry, many ministers, in fact, have lawful authority granted them under the law. They are the authority. And only and if they cease to be effective, as deemed so by the one who appointed them, being the prime minister,
can they be moved? The secretary has no responsibility for determining policy direction of the government. A permanent secretary may give advice to the minister, guidance to the minister in respect of public policy, but the ultimate determination of that policy belongs to the minister as a member of a collective called the cabinet. That's why we are called a cabinet government. So the question becomes for a minister is, this is the question. And if you want to, this is the question. Is the minister rallying, championing, leading government policy in an area? So let me be more specific. Is the Honorable Wayne Monroe championing, executing, directing government policy in the area of national security? The question isn't, is the policy being affected? That's a different question. Because if the government persists with a policy and the policy is not affected, so long as that policy is government policy, Minister Monroe has a responsibility to execute the government's policy. That's reality. Okay, so if the minister is executing government policy and the government policy is not affected, calling for the minister's resignation is irrelevant, because the next person put there will have to execute the government's policy, and that policy which is not affected will remain ineffective because you're only now changing the personality that is leading an ineffective policy. So what you have to do is assess whether the policy is having an impact. If the policy is not having an impact, call for the minister to resign or change. Call for the government to change the policy, because the policy is unaffected. And very seldom in these dialogues you and I listen to, when it comes to the government or the opposition, or even parties outside of those two, it very seldom you hear anybody able to articulate what is the government's policy. What's national security policy right now? You're listening to me. Go ask the people who should know. What is government policy in national security? Go ask them. Ask them. Because if you want to know whether or not something is working, ask yourself, what is it? What is it be trying to do? What's the policy? I dare say most won't be able to tell you. All we do is look at the results and say, well, it ain't working, and that could well be true. But what isn't working? What is not working? How do we get better? How do we improve on a policy we don't even know ourselves? Because if you don't know the policy when you're out of government, when you go in government, you might just do it because you didn't identify the policy when you were out of office because it wasn't working. That could well be true for the PLP. They came into office. What was the national security policy before you came to office? You said it wasn't working because you complained about things then. Well, what was it that was being done that wasn't working? And what are you doing different than what was being done that now you believe should work? Because people don't see a difference in respect of murders in the country. In fact, they're seeing a worsening of the situation. So, you see? Calling for minister's resignation. You know, if he breaks the law, she breaks the law. If he acts unethically, if there is evidence that there's broad public lack of confidence, yeah, and then you call for the minister's resignation. Under circumstances of a broad challenge in the country that could have factors affecting it beyond the minister? I'm not sure about that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
The RF Economic Outlook returns on March 13th at Bomar under the theme, Age of Intelligence, Harnessing the Power. Hear from the expert speakers on AI, how it's impacting our daily lives, the threats and opportunities that abound. Professionals at the networking event of the year as we explore this and more global trends impacting local businesses. Reserve your seat today to take advantage of early bird discounts before they're gone. Register now at rfbeo.com.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody what happening.
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. I am on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 4043. You can text me. You can call from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. We have a text here. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. By the opposition calling for the Minister of National Security to resign, wouldn't change nothing if the policy is the same. We as a nation need to stop making this crime problem priorities for this stance. Quite frankly, I think you didn't listen to the show yesterday. I'm concerned about it being political because it will always be political. How could it not be political if you keep calling on politicians to solve the problem? The opposition is a group of politicians. The government are groups of politicians. They are both involved with government. Government involves politics. You are asking them to solve the problem. If they don't solve the problem, you see, you'll fire them. How can it not be political? Right? That's nonsense. It is political. It's a political issue. Right? And it's always going to, when the government achieves something good, they're going to say, we the PLP did it. In crime now, when the crime rate goes down, we the PLP reduce crime. When the FNM does it, we the FNM reduce crime. What do you mean? Then we have to stop making it political? That's nonsense. It's never going to happen. It's always going to be political because it's a political issue. Every issue in the nation that concerns the government is a political issue. Now, do you have to deal with it in a irrational, unreasonable, unsubstantiated, partisan way? No, you shouldn't. But it's going to always be political. So that kind of talk to me does not really make a whole lot of sense. It's going to always be political. This Texas great show as usual. I think he resigned was Dwayne Sands, and that was not because the opposition said, say resign, yeah. So as usual, I personally think the Minister of National Security will not be reelected next election, so he's just buying pastime, okay? As Tech says, Mr. Lang, I think he should resign on the handling of crime. For me, he has done, with all respect, a piss-poor job at this approach towards crime. What did you want him to do? If he did a piss-poor job doing crime, addressing crime, how is that different than the Prime Minister doing a piss-poor job addressing crime? On the permission of police and all his police officers doing a piss-poor job addressing crime. What was he supposed to do? Tell me, please. I'm not saying he wasn't supposed to do something, but I'm saying, tell me what he was supposed to do. Right? I am a challenge your intellectual capacity here to get beyond just simply shouting that thing. That would have made you think, yeah, this man is doing a good job. What was he supposed to do? What was any Minister of National Security supposed to do? When Moira went shooting up on the Ingram, what was Tommy Tunguis supposed to do? When it went up on the Christie, what was Bernard Nordic supposed to do? Tell me. So, Mr. Lang, people think Bell would have done a better job at national security. What is your view on that? And who do you think personally would have done a reasonable job at national security? Again, national security is a collective function. But if you ask me, I think one of the most capable ministers of national security we ever had, seems to me, was Marvin Dames. I'm going to have a conversation with him soon. So maybe we'll find out from him. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Great, sir.
Good.
I don't think Mr. Monroe should resign. Mm. That's number one. You know, sometime he only carried out the policy of the government and give it to the commissioner, I suppose. But I believe everything will be all right, you know. But it's too much hypocrisy in this country.
You believe everything is going to be all right? Why?
I believe everything will be all right at the end of the day. If the lawmakers do what they're supposed to do.
Which
if
is
they
what?
Do what they're supposed to do.
Which is
where there's wrongness, deal with it. Don't just deal it with the water boy and the coke in his man. Anyone else who broke this law, we don't deal with them. Bring them before the court. And because we have seen the lawlessness in high places, and this is the reason why the small man said, okay, well, they doing it. We could do the same thing. But if you see, when you look the other day, the father what in the pit, he was going with his daughter. Okay. There was some pastor going to the court and say, oh, give this man a lesser charge. He's a good man. And he go to church and everything. Well,
Yes, sir.
They wasn't even concerned about the girl. All they saying, maybe you know this man is going to their church or whatever and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? So, how is it that they can find themselves in the courtroom for this man, but all the people go to the courthouse every day and they ain't going to talk on their behalf? You see, that's why the Bible says spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is the reason why we have all this problem. And if we could address these problems, we don't care who you may be, you could go under your mind until we coming to get you. You could be the prime minister's son, deal with you. But people back off. You know what I'm saying? And this is the reason why we see the country like how it is today now. Until we get things back in order, we can pray is good. Now, don't get me wrong, but we can pray much as we want to pray. But until we get reality and know that God is not going to fix it, that's the reason why he gives us our brains to fix things on this earth. He said, you have the power to control this earth. I have given you earth to control, and heaven, I control heaven. Now, he can give it to you. There's something inside of us.
So let me ask you a question. It is your conviction that fellas who plug in people in the streets, shooting them down, killing them, who somebody do something to them, they go and kill somebody. Somebody did something to their girlfriend, they go do kill somebody. Someone hires somebody from another country to come and kill them. It is your contention that this is happening because in high places we are not doing the right thing?
Well, see, now, in that instance, you know, the Bible said also, whatever man sow is going to reap. See, now, when we find people stepping out and doing things wrongly, the law, what is on the law book to deal with that individual? Deal with it.
But that's what happens on the law books. On the law book says, well, you get arrested. Doesn't the police arrest the guys, take them to court? The court may grant them bail. You say, but it's what's on the law books. Bail is on the law books. So the courts is able to grant bail. Let me finish, man, because I want to think through these things. You go back to court, you get convicted, you get sentenced either to death or you get sentenced to 20, 30, 40, 50 years in prison. That happens. All of that's on the law books. So what is on the law books that isn't happening?
When we look at some of the charges, it is so wrong when you start playing. A man can rape a woman, then he get one 2 years and stuff like that.
But you can't have your cake and eat it too. On the law books, it is possible for the courts to sentence you to a number that's on the law books because the law says a range of years you can be sentenced to. So they're not doing that willy nilly. They're in accordance with the law.
True. Look, okay. Look at the other day. Somebody threatened the prime minister. That case, nobody here, but that case yet no more.
You didn't hear about it anymore, but the case is continuing. Though there are many cases you don't hear about that are continuing. Just because it ain't in the press doesn't mean it's not continuing.
But if it was in the press would either say, well, this man is in prison or on bail. Or whatever,
No, that's not true. You just ain't, bro. But my point is, whatever it is, at the end of the day, what is on the law books continues to be done. So we have to think through this some more. It's not, you know, we have to do what's on the law books because we're doing what's on the law books. That's why police doing their job. That's why
the law books say hang. You see anything
No. You don't get to do that on Z-Line. The law book doesn't just say hang. The law to be hung, and you can be hung, but you also on the law book have the right of appeal. And the law says you can appeal your sentence to the Privy Council and all. You could even so you have that right. And then the law book says if the Privy Council says that you were treated in a certain way and they want to commute your sentence, the law allows for them to do so. That's the law.
I agree with that, you know.
Yeah,
but I agree with that.
You can't agree with me.
No, what I'm saying, I agree with you saying you could appeal and stuff like that, but you never see they read no, you never see where they read no sentence say, well, this person is going to be hang or whatever.
Because I can't read your writ to be hung if you enter an appeal. How can I do that if you enter an appeal? That's the whole point of the appeal.
Well, let me be quick. the lock up the coconut man and the water boys them. But we see people are being, we see, and we know them. We know just who they is. We've seen things in this country.
I got you, brother. Thank you. I got you, bro. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Hi.
Yes. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I wanted to make a, not make a comment, but what do you think? Because what I'm hearing is, okay, yes, the law is being carried out. Are you basically saying that? That the law is being carried out?
Well, in every instance, a person is arrested, then charged, then placed before the courts, and then sentenced, and then appeals, etc. That's all within the law.
Okay. All right. Understood, right? But if the law is not impacting or seems to be, well, the perception is, because perception is reality to a lot. If that the laws are not as effective as they should be, whose responsibility then is it?
That's an awesome question. That's a very appropriate question. So the responsibility there is your lawmakers. Your lawmakers. You are supposed to say to your members of parliament and your senators, you have laws on the books that are not effective. You have to do something about these laws.
That's what I'm saying. And I think a lot of people, I agree with the gentleman. I mean, I understand what he's saying, basically.
I understand what he's saying, and I don't want to discourage
people from making their suggestions like that. They may not say it like you or I, but I understand what he's saying, because the perception out there among the regular citizenry is that what is in place as far as our laws, it's not working, right?
We want
the government, whomever it may be, right? Whichever party it may be,
right,
to take a more serious look at it. And when people talk about the prime minister traveling, right? Like you said, right, it's not an issue with the prime minister traveling, you know, because you have to do that in business and you have to do that to make contacts and this and that. Well, my thing is, I don't think you have to, because we have Zoom now, you know, thank God for COVID, really. In some instances, we don't have to travel all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is, it shouldn't be business as usual. You understand, especially if the perception out there is as it is, and a lot of people are just scared.
I agree with that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, and I want you to appreciate this from me. I do not ever correct people because they may not say something the way I would say it. I correct them because what they are saying is incorrect, and I don't want people to purvey on my show incorrect information.
Yeah.
Right. So, but also
understand, Mr. Lang, that you know, it's very intimidating for a lot of citizens to call in, and I think that sometimes they get cut down, right? You know, and they're really trying, really just to put first, which is admirable. I sit back and I listen, because before time and before we were able to do this, a lot of people didn't have that, you know, that courage to do so. So I appreciate that, and I sit back and I listen, right? No matter, I mean, you have to correct them because you don't want bad information out there, but also encourage them too, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I understand that entirely. I mean, listen, I can only be me. You be you. I can do the best I can. That's all I can do. When people call the show, I don't tell them be me. I only can be me, right? And I ain't lie to you. You know I
Well,
know.
I always tell I people, you use the... You know what I tell people? I say, Mr. Lang is a true Bohemian. He like the raw boy.
Yeah. We. And hey, not only I true Bohemian, my friends like to say, but they don't know you being in Oxville High School.
Right. Well, I've been to 8 Mile Rock High, so you're my rival.
Yeah, you know how we go.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling, man.
Okay,
Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid.
Burger King Whopper plus more with the new Texas Double Whopper. Sink your teeth into two juicy quarter-pound flame-grilled patties, delicious bacon, sliced jalapenos, yellow mustard, melted cheese, plus all the fixings you love, served on a soft sesame seed bun. Try it in a classic combo with fries and a drink at any of our seven locations. But hurry, because the new Texas Double Whopper is only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. My friend who called just now say, she tell her people I's a real Bahamian. I like to row. That is real, you know. I do not like to row. I do not. I spend most of my time not rowing. And I don't row if I think it ain't gonna make no sense whatsoever. I just don't mind rowing if it's necessary, and I believe it is necessary. That's the truth. I don't mind it. And Bahamians are, generally speaking, are very aggressive when it comes to their opinions. We are very aggressive. We just don't like when other people are aggressive. We are aggressive. We try to hold our mind point. But when we meet sometimes people like me who are very forceful, who can think quickly on their feet, etc., sometimes we like to think that they are overly aggressive. No, I don't like to row, but I don't mind it. And I'll row every single time if I believe it's necessary. So let me give you an example of that. Check this. Listen to the wording of this text. Mr. Lang, since you are so enlightened, can you tell me why Carlos Reed and Rodney Monka, two very close associates of Monroe, association by the minister, were they friends of Brave? Listen to that question. Why would I not row for a question like that? First of all, since I'm enlightened, so enlightened, I should know why Rodney Monka and Carlos Reed got hired. Isn't that a question for the people who hired them? these are kinds of things that when I hear, just get right under my skin. Because it makes no sense. Why are you asking me why they were hired? I didn't hire them. And then premising it by why it is, since I'm so enlightened. Y'all think I don't see y'all coming in. That's why y'all don't. That's why you'd be scared to call this joke. Y'all and I see y'all coming from way, way, way. And this 5 foot nothing Hawksville boy, I'm going to tell you. So he further, did the minister not go on record and say that he was launching programs from his ministry in 2022? Does he not have any autonomy, or is Brave sitting in a room writing a crime plan? I don't know. It says, he talks closely, he says his plans, not the PLP's plans. Well, you do recall I said ministers sometimes act as if they are laws unto themselves, but they operate in a cabinet government. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, remember when crime got bad under Tommy D? What made Papa bring in former Boston LAPD and New York City Commissioner Bill Branton to consult the police with out firing Tommy T? I felt like he knew policing a metropolitan city is Bill Braden's specialty. Yeah, he wanted to get some more perspectives on the matter. And that's what you do. When you think that you don't have all that is required, you go ahead and do what you have to do. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Shivago, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening?
It's you, my brother. I first would like to comment on the previous call. The previous caller had some very, very important salient points that she made. And it's good and it's refreshing for persons such as myself to hear that the Haymans are thinking other than just uttering half foods and stuff, but are actually bringing some meat to the bone that you don't actually have a very good discussion or dialogue. The Prime Minister, in terms of his traveling, you know, and the perception out here is greater than reality. You see, what needs to happen is the information being shared between the government and the public. I think a better PR team or a better way has to be employed in order to get the Bahamian people to understand fully what the government is doing on the Bahamian people's behalf. And that is half of the battle right there, because a lot of things are going on. And even though they may put their little tidbits out there, it is not sufficient to really convince the Bahamian people on what's really being done out there, especially at the taxpayer's expense. And that's where the problem comes in. The second part of this whole equation is this. You know, the Prime Minister's travels. Yes, I agree. He does have to travel. We have a country to run. But if the Prime Minister or the dignitaries of that government travels at the taxpayer's expense and do not come back and give the Bahamian public the short, immediate, short, and long term of what their traveling has exceeded over 10, 15 times, and yet we are still out here trying to figure out what are all these travels all about, then you're going to get the type of perception that is going on out here. You cannot.
You know that's where prime ministers have been different than Ingram in many respects. You remember how Ingram used to hold press conferences at the airport when he returned?
Yes, sir. And also, Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinning used to do it.
That's where Ingram got it from.
Okay, so this is why we were able to resonate with these prime ministers, because they were, in a sense, they were transparent on what their trips were all about. It gave us an opportunity to be a part of what it is that was accomplished. And so when it came back to the people on the bottom who didn't understand, we who did understand were able to translate to these persons really what goes on, and it gave everybody a good feeling because we were in the know. But this current administration, unfortunately, and you know, I'm not a person to bash administrations, because I want to see every administration do well in this country, because when they do well, that means the Bahamian people have an opportunity to also do well. But when they falter and when they fall, it is also our responsibility as a people to point these things out to our government. And this is where the problem comes in, Shivago. They want to go right. But when the public...
I got you, brother. I got you, but we had the news break. I really got to go.
Okay, brother.
All right? Appreciate it, man. Thank you, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today. on Guardian Radio 96M on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm supposed to have some special guests in studio today. And whenever they come in studio, I get excited because they always got something wonderful to share. I see Lakeisha. Lakeisha, you're here?
I'm here. We're just waiting on one more person from Comfort Suites Paradise Island. And then
no problem at all. You know, I love when you all come to talk about Comfort Suites.
Yes.
Paradise Island, because, you know, I've stayed at Comfort Suite on Paradise Island a number of times, and I have never not enjoyed staying there.
I love it.
Telling you, love it. Comfortable. The folks are friendly, and, you know, it's a wonderful stay.
We're so glad to hear that, and we do hope our general public who's listening today will be excited and want to experience the same thing.
You are coming to me in February. You must have got some love, something going on.
Yes, we do. We have our sweet sale for all our lovers celebrating love this February. So starting at $148 plus taxes and fees, we are celebrating you. Bring your loved one down and experience all the things that Comfort Suite have to offer. You get your free access to Atlantis, AquaVenture water parkers, free parking, free Wi-Fi. We have the fourth night free. So once you book three nights, you get the fourth night free, excluding taxes and fees.
Man, somebody text me, say, I'm a celebrity. That's why y'all is treat me special. But that ain't true, because I have never gone there and felt like anybody did anything special. I just check into my room, I go to my place, and so forth and so forth.
Exactly. You put on your vacation attire and you act like a tourist.
Yeah, I never felt like that. So it's called Sweet what?
Sweet Sale.
And it's the $148 for the night?
Yes, plus taxes and fees per night.
Wow, that's a great rate up there.
That's based on single, double occupancy. So these, I need our listeners to book as soon as possible to lock down their weekend. Valentine's is coming up. So we want you to lock it down. And then if you want to make it single, you just want to enjoy yourself or as a couple, or you want to still make it a vacation for the family, children 11 years and under, they stay, play, and eat free.
Man, you know ain't nobody doing that unless they can come the first night and then they can let the kids come on the second night or something like that.
We can make that happen.
Yasmin has joined us. How are you, ma'am?
She's right here, and she's going to speak about our Valentine's pre and actual day of the 14th.
Okay. Hi, Yasmin.
Hi. Hello, Bahamas. It's the month of love. And as Lakeisha alluded to, I'm the love doctor today.
Okay. All right. So tell us how all these folks who all googly-eyed each other's faces, or some people who then lose that googly eye but trying to find it back.
Yes, we're here to help you find it back.
There you go.
So in addition to the food and beverage credit that Lakeisha may have mentioned already, as inclusive as the part of our sweet sale that's offered at our Crusoe's restaurant, we are here to talk a little bit about our Valentine offering. Mm-hmm. Because Valentine's falls in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, February 14th, we are giving the general public, and by general public, I want to emphasize that you do not need to be a hotel guest to just come out and enjoy this offering. So reservations are welcome. Anyone can come out and enjoy it. We are offering a pre-Valentine's night as well as a Valentine night. So on Saturday, February 10th, which is this upcoming Saturday, we have a full-blown love menu that is designed for all of your listening public listeners in mind. We will also offer this menu along with live. We have indoor and outdoor seating available. And then next week, Wednesday, on the actual love day, we will have a separate and a unique menu crafted for Valentine's Day for our lovers, our want-to-be lovers, and like you said, our want-to-be lovers again. The specials included, the menu items feature things like, you know, your lobster, your lamb, shrimp, a beaten feta salad. We have almost everything that you can think of and anything to suit the palates of everyone that needs to feel a little bit of love.
You started off right. You started off with lobster and lamb. You had me from the break.
yes. And in addition to these items, we have our full regular complement of menu items. You know, Cuso's is known for the conkiest comforters this side of paradise. So I want to highlight that those type of items will also still be available on both evenings, in addition to our specialty menu.
So just to be sure, there's an occasion for people to come and stay at the hotel for their love pleasures and enjoying each other and so forth. But yes, there's also the possibility that you could bring your loved ones or your family on during that period to just enjoy the restaurant.
That is correct. That is exactly correct. Do not necessarily have to be a guest to enjoy Cuso's. But if you are a guest and you stay for more than two nights, then you will get a little free. You will get some free food and beverage credit that will enable you to also utilize the space. So we're trying to be able to, you know, make a full circle offering so that you can come out, eat, stay, play, and then definitely enjoy all that we have to offer on Paradise Island.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. But now some of y'all, you know that your day is a little rough. So you got to make up some time with your loved ones. So if $148 a night for three nights and so forth might be just about what you need to make sure they stop being angry and upset.
Yes. So we just need them to call and let's make this right with our loved ones. So we can reach us at 605-6300-636-3180, or they can WhatsApp us. That's 557-SUITE. That's 557-8483. So they can message us to get hotel directly to check availability. So things are going fast due to the fact of it's Lovers Weekend. So we encourage our guests to call as soon as possible, as soon as they know they're ready to secure their sleeping accommodation or their dining experience.
Man, if I hadn't just recently had some surgery and recuperating, I certainly would have been taking advantage of this opportunity, because that sounds beautiful.
Yes. Hope you feel better.
Yeah, we can get there. And once I do, then you all will see me, you know. We'll work something out.
Yes.
So once again, for the folks who say, you know what, I want to take advantage of that, I want to be able to do that, where should they call? How should they connect?
So once again, you can call and be transferred to our reservations department. The number is 605-6300-363-3180, or they can WhatsApp us at 557-8483. So that's 55-SUITE, SUITE.
And the rates, but starts when? I mean, like, when is the earliest somebody could book and get a rate?
So this rate started from February 1, so it's going on now until the 30th.
You got all month to make up?
You have all month to make up.
okay. I guess someone has some time to wake it out.
Yes. So if you don't catch us this weekend, you definitely have until the 29th of February to secure this $148 plus taxes and fees.
Right. The same thing applies to the restaurant?
Yes. So the restaurant is open daily, 24/7. It doesn't close. So come on down for the lunch experience or the dinner experience, and you will have a great time. And while I have our listeners listening on in, we want to talk about our furniture. We have new, renewed furniture for our guests. So when you come, you will see the enhancement of the new product, and you could just enjoy everything from the food to the beds.
You know what always impresses me about Comfort Suites? Like, it's not hidden, but it seems so private and cozy right there, snuggled as it is in the corner.
Yes.
I'm serious. And it always, like, when I go there, I always like, you know what? This, like, you could see this thing by the circle near the bridge, but when you get there, you're nestled in a cave.
That's right. We offer comforting days and sweet nights.
Excuse me.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway, last words for the folks.
So we just want to encourage you to lock down these bookings as soon as possible. We require 24 hours advance notice, and we just want you to lock it in. So 363-3180-605-6300. Or you could WhatsApp us for pricing just to check availability and pricing.
All right. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I need to call a couple of my friends and tell them, like, yo, y'all need to wake down the road now.
Yes. Please share the good news.
Thank you so very much, Lakeisha, Yasmin. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You too. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, this is Valentine's. This is Valentine's month. Valentine's month. And all the lovers express their love. Some of the lovers who ain't got no love to express can have to find some love to express, and so forth and so forth. I have a question for y'all. I have a question. You and I exist in this environment. It's concerning, troubling. Some people might even say scary, right? Where these murders are happening, this violence is taking place. And I see people send me notes, or even the foreign press is in here. What you mean the foreign press is in here? Well, the foreign press always here. They're here either by virtue of their physical presence, or they're here by virtue of all the things we keep putting on Facebook and Instagram and all that, telling the people what's happening in the world. The foreign press picks up on your news too, right here. So the foreign press don't have to come here to know what's going on here. They just happen to come here now because they think that they can get more direct and detailed account of what's going on. But they're not here because they're here. They are here because we have them here. Some of us are behaving in a way that makes them want to come here and report what is happening here. But we operate in this environment. It's a troublesome environment. If this is my question to you, if you wanted to gauge the extent to which your child, in particular male child, but not just your male child, female child, to the extent to which your child could be either a victim of crimes, in particular serious violent crimes, what things would you look for to tell you they could possibly be perpetrators or victims of crime? You want me to ask the question again? If you wanted to gauge whether or not your child, in particular male child, but doesn't have to just be your male child, female child too, could have a high probability of being either a perpetrator or victim of violent crimes, what would you look for? What would you look for? I'm going to take a break. You think about it. Text me. Tell me what things you would look for in your child. Very important question. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Zealand.
Live in concert, Burna Boy! Burna Boy performing live! Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Maxi Belli, and more. Spillgate 2024. Get tickets now. This one is a must that you're there.
The RF Economic Outlook returns on March 13th at Ba Mar under the theme, Age of Intelligence, Harnessing the Power. Hear from the expert speakers on AI, how it's impacting our daily lives, the threats and opportunities that abound. Join over 200 professionals at the networking event of the year as we explore acting local businesses. Reserve your seat today to take advantage of early bird discounts before they're gone. Register now at rfbeo.com.
Wednesday, March 8th, 2024, is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The aim of the International Women's Day 2024 campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. So I asked the question, if you wanted to gauge whether or not your son or daughter, in particular your son, could be have a high probability of being one of those persons who either perpetrate a crime or become a victim of a crime, what would you look for? What is it that you would look for? This text says, are they behaving out of character, becoming more secretive and paranoid? Are they bringing home unexplained cash and hanging with suspicious-looking person? I would say that those are fairly good things to look for sure. This text is Mr. Lang's. Said, my point was in response to your comment asking why Shannon Dawn would ask Monroe to resign as opposed to cabinet. Why would he ask the cabinet to resign? It appears that the crime plan was constructed by Monroe through the hire of Monk and Reed. One can simply perform deductive reasoning in the absence of facts. Well, if that's your deductive reasoning, my friend, it is absolutely flawed, because your reasoning is his crime plan consisted of Monroe and Reed. And that to me is as shallow as it can get. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. First, let me congratulate the Royal Bombers. In my opinion, I believe the police are doing, in particular the CID department, I think they're doing a great job in bringing these perpetrators, arresting them. So let me just put that out there that I believe that the police are doing a great job, an excellent job, as a matter of fact, in what they're doing. The problem where I think where we come to the bottleneck is the court system. The police are arresting these dudes. They go before the court. The court go to a bail hearing. They get denied bail. They get sent to Parkville. And then the court can't, but somehow seem to be able to bring their cases to court in a timely manner. Hence, why they get bail. Understand what I'm saying? So I believe if the court system could get, if the court could get these fellas in the front of in front of the judges in timely manner, the Supreme Court in particular, in a timely manner, maybe we could unplug the bottleneck, and maybe we could do something with this bailout. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just, you know.
Well, I don't. I'm not. I wouldn't say whether you're wrong or right. But my question to you, ultimately, what we want is to reduce the murders, right?
Yes.
So tie that to what you are asking. Are you saying that if we can get the courts moving quickly enough to bring these people to justice so that they could be sentenced either to death and or life or whatever imprisonment term, and then that will result in less murders? Is that your suggestion?
Well, let's look at the statistics. Mm-hmm. Look at the young man who being killed. Is it safe to say the majority of these, more than half of these guys are on bail for murder?
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get them sentenced, then they won't be free to roam the streets. But they'll be serving out their time. Think about it this way, right? Speaking hypothetically, somebody kills your family member. Just speaking hypothetically, God forbid it ever happened. Somebody killed your family member. And here it is, this guy just walking up and down the street, happy-go-lucky, like not a care in the world. He's out partying while your family going through their grief. There's one person in your family that head ain't screw on right, that the wise ain't connect properly. There's someone in your family going to retire. I think that's the problem. You know, these guys are just like happy-go-lucky. And I just think family members seeing this or gang members seeing this, whoever seeing this, and they're just retaliating. There's very few of these young men who were killed were not on bail for murder or not released for murder.
Well, that's why Prime Minister has passed a Bail Amendment Act today in which he is suggesting that now, mind you, you still could get bail.
You still could get bail.
But if you violate the terms of your bail, then you can't get a fine. You have to get a prison sentence if you're convicted of a violation of your bail. But if that is so, your first argument is it's to get in the bail to begin with, right?
Well, I think, you know, I think just getting the bail to begin with, and I think the reason why these young men are getting bail, not young men, the reason why these perpetrators are getting bail is because they're not, their cases are not getting to the court in a timely manner. So is that so?
Is that so, though? Or is it they are getting bail because the judges have argued for a long time that a person is innocent until proven guilty and therefore accepted some extenuating circumstances entitled to bail? That's really the argument. This is a new.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. But if we could get their cases to court before that become an issue.
No. But you are saying they are getting bail because the judges believe that the cases ain't gonna come in a timely way. But I'm saying even if they were coming in a timely way, the judges in the Bahamas believe that you are accepting exceptional circumstances, entitled to bail because you aren't convicted when you are arrested. You are charged and you are therefore innocent until proven guilty, and you shouldn't be deprived of your freedom, saving and except for extenuating circumstances.
Yes. And another point, right? Let's say we had, how many murders we had last year? 100 and something murders last year? Did we had 100 and something cases? Or the year before last, did we had 100 and something murder cases last year?
Definitely we're not.
And that's what I'm saying. We're not keeping up with the case law. So we can't have these guys sitting in jail just sitting. Mm-hmm. So in certain circumstances, You know, if we could close every loophole from them getting bail, then let's do that. And I again, I stand to be corrected. I believe that the court, not bringing them to court and to get them in front of a judge in a timely manner, that's one loophole that's open.
But the judge is only one part of the equation. You know, the other part of the equation is the defense attorney and the prosecutors, because sometimes the delays are related to their readiness, because remember, they don't just have that one case. They got several cases going on. The defense attorney has several clients going on. So they then have to now organize and arrange for appropriate available slots, et cetera. So I've spoken to some very distinguished lawyers in this country who indicate to me any number of things that contribute to this backlog of cases, and it's not just the judges. It's case management on the part of judges, for sure. Some part of it is the lawyers, the prosecutors, and the on all these things come into play.
Well, again, isn't that somewhere where the judge steps in and kind of manage the case? Have you ever sit inside a court?
No, I haven't.
I sit in the court for a traffic ticket one time ago. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some of the most flimsy excuses that lawyers come up with just to get these cases put off. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, what you doing? Just to get these cases put off. So maybe if the judge could step up, hey, listen, no. You got a whole year to get your case ready. We doing this. Maybe the next case, hey, okay, I got to go to court ready.
You know? I got you. I understand.
So I just think court management, and you know, maybe that might help.
It definitely a factor from what I've been told. Definitely.
All right, good show, and I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your calling. So I was asking you, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how are you?
Good to know you're feeling better.
Coming along.
Thank God for that. I have a question. On your first hour, you mentioned the crime plan that the government might not have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, is it possible for me or you who is in, journalism life, is it possible for any of us to get our hands on such a plan if we request?
Well, I can tell you one thing. You can, if you ask me for it, I'll send you what the government sent the country after the prime minister's national address. You remember he said he was going to have a deep strategy provided after his national address. Well, I have a copy of that. It's a 5-page document or so with a 5-point plan. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could get that.
So from the national address with me, have you quickly seen any headway into the plan that he placed over there or talked about? Have you seen anything, any step leading up to what his plan is? Have you seen anything?
No, ma'am.
Not as yet, no. Okay, I was just curious because I know you keep talking about the plan, you know, they move from one plan to the next. You know, because
I don't refer to any specific plan. I just say whatever plan there is, but I do know. Yeah, but this is called the final OPM 5-pillar strategy is what it is called. It's the final, a whole of government and whole of society approach. But it's about 5 pages. It has the 5 points and then a number of bullet points.
Okay, all right. That is just curious, you know, because you're talking about it, and I wonder, I don't think that's something of regular, everyday, behemoth person, whatever, it's probably taught to ask about, you know, because it would be nice to know what the plan is, you know.
Well, let me be clear. I don't regard this as a plan as such. I regard this as a framework you know, a framework, you know, meaning it captures a number of concepts and approaches that might lend itself to crime fighting, but I certainly do not regard this as a plan, because that would be like me drafting you a sketch of a house I like and telling you that's a plan. You and I both know that an architectural plan for getting a house constructed is much more detailed than that, right?
Sure. Yeah. And one more thing. Like how they were talking about this crime and other stuff, I noticed that on, I think, how someone must be sent him something where it shows, I guess, like since 2007, how under the FNM there was, say, 400 something murders. Then the PLP came and then the murder count went to 600, and this is in 5-year term. Then back to the FNM where it was down to 3 something, and now 2.5 or almost 3 years into this government, they're already at 300 and moving forward. I'm trying to wonder, is this something different that happens under the FNM, that happens under the PLT? I mean, I may be wrong. I'm sure that's what I heard on the Howard show earlier. So I'm trying to figure out, what is the difference?
It's an interesting question to be sure. I mean, Ingram had, under his tenure, a spike in crime. And you recall that was what led to those billboards erected by Mr. Davis. So we know that under the pre-national movement, at least under Ingram, there were spikes in crime. Under Christie, there was an extraordinary spike in crime. And then under Minnis, actually, there was a reduction in crime, in murders.
This is what I'm trying to say. They said 2007 to 2012, like 4 something under Ingram. And then Christie came in, and that his 5-year term, they had 600 and something. And you understand me? And 17 to 21, you understand the difference? And I'm trying to wonder now, what was done differently under Ingram? I know it rise under Ingram, but it went even higher under Christie.
Then it dropped again
under Minnis. Now it's rising under Davis. What's the difference? I mean,
I think it's a great question.
I think it's a plan. I feel like it's a plan. The same plan you spoke of, I think it's something to do with that same planning. That's how I feel.
I got you. Appreciate your calling. Thank you very much. We have another call on the line, I believe. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, right. I didn't get the call in yesterday. It was funny timing. It was a very interesting conversation he was having. So I was trying to interface it with the young lady who was, before the hour, she called and talked about perception and law enforcement, et cetera, and you give her a cold chronicle, right? So the thing that was most intriguing for me was your concept of public relations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized how multifaceted it is, right? Mm-hmm. And how the police could use it as an advantage, right? Because, you know, I'm sensing on the ground, right, the youths are so angry, like everybody, there's a blatant disrespect for law and order and the police, like even in their faces and et cetera, et cetera. It's just going on in proximity to police stations, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm seeing the difference in the psyche of the young people, right? And I'm wondering why. And so it's like they're billing hate. So when you look at public relations, I guess you could do a follow-up show to get the public's opinion, because I thought that was really... it wouldn't stop crime, but it would help solve crime, because after the fact, right? But if the police could build a better rapport, and even in disclosures of their own insubordinations with their entities, you know, the public trust, et cetera, et cetera. So I really didn't get to finish listening to the show, right? Because I think someone was saying it wouldn't do this or it couldn't do that, but it's not the matter of that. It's the matter of the police being, like, setting the pace and then going forward from there. And I think that would be a wonderful idea.
Well, public relations.
I'm not proud of my past. Some things I did. What I'm saying is, in my days, Mr. Lang, if I was doing something wrong, right, and the police caught me, they caught me. So with young fellas, they seem to want to shoot at the police. They seem to, it's more like an angry type, you know, like, that's why I used to say, well, what's the problem? If you get caught doing something, you know you're wrong, you get locked up. That's it. You can't hate the police for doing this job. Don't care what you're doing. But it seems to me like there's a blatant disrespect for life, et cetera, et cetera. So the police are becoming more belligerent, more obnoxious, and so they should maybe be trained psychologically to really, you know what I mean, just rapport with the public in general. It's, I just thought it was something that could be looked at in a, public, in a, with a bunch of variables. I'll just like public, you to comment. All right, yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. Public relations has its own purpose, and it has a positive purpose. That's why most companies, institutions, organizations have public relations. So that's that, and that's intended to try to cast an organization in a positive light. Some of what you're talking about is in public relations, so it's community relations. It's the connection between the police and the community in which the community builds up better confidence and more rapport in the police. Every time the Menace administration is mentioned with respect to the reduction in crime, people have this knee-jerk reaction that says it's about the lockdown. Like this person says, please, we lock down on the Menace. Well, the fact of the matter is that you are wrong. You are wrong. The crime, the murder rate in the country went down from 2017 to 2019. We didn't get locked down until March. And we were until March of 2020. And then we were locked down in 2020, and mostly in 2021, we began to open up again. So that's absolutely untrue. The murder rate, the numbers bear it out, began to go down, 120-something, 90-something, 80-something, or whatever it was, prior to the pandemic. Let's be on the facts. Secondly, this text says, in fact, I suspect we'd be locked down if Menace was still the all-knowing, competent authority. See, now that's like, to me, that's like a little iteration, right? Because the fact of the matter is, Menace announced that in November of 2021, they were going to lift whatever that was he was using to do what he was. So, you know, you suspect based on what? You know, get him on a little slack. You have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Eli.
What do you say, sir?
Yeah, man. Welcome back and wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
Now, I got to say this, Z. Pearlie Thompson do an excellent job holding it down for you while you was out.
You realize it's me who's put him here, right?
Right, I know, and you train him. He tell me you train him, and you do an excellent job
him. No, I don't train him, man. I told Pearlie I heard him on Naughty Show, and I thought he was doing a very good job. I told Pearlie he could have his own show.
And yeah, you give him one or two point of views and everything too. Yeah, which is good, man. Yeah, he did an excellent job holding it down for you. But
that's why I let him do it. Thank you, man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But about the question which you asked, with your children, your son, and your daughter, right. What I would do, see. In my man cave, I had to put one of them paper light bulbs in there. And then every evening when they come home, I'd call them in the man cave and I'd say, hey, what's up? What's up? You all right? I'd turn off the light and turn on the paper light. And then ask you, well, hey, what you doing with that gunshot residue on your hand or something like that? Hey, what you do? Hey, or if they clear, I say, okay, so everything cool. See you tomorrow. Come back in tomorrow. After the Parkgate Road and after St. Andrews and Chippenham, I call them when they come home in my house in the evening. And I say, yeah, come inside the house and everything. Turn it in the dark and turn on the purple infrared. I say, ah. You got
you
residue on your hand. I said, what you shooting gun off? You clean your gun. I said, okay,
you
all right.
You deep. I can't message you. You deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me say this before I go. Let me see if I can help the gentleman. One of the laws he's probably trying to say he ain't getting enforced on the politician is the Disclosure Act. Like how it's a $10,000 fine or 1 year in prison. And he ain't none of them disclosed yet. And then they ain't really enforcing that. That's what he meant. But that's what I had to do. I had to put one of them paper balls in my man gave. Keep up the good work, man. Keep up the good work. We didn't miss you. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. But I like that. But that purple ball. Yeah.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing, sir?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Right here, man. Good. Listen, Mr. Lang, let me just ask you something. Are we, as a country, as a people, are we any different from any other countries who complain about their politicians or when something is going wrong and they get in. Some people get in the streets and they demonstrate, say, you got to go. I think it was in Pakistan. I'm not sure if I get the country right. But the prime minister had to leave in the night on the plane because the people, because of inflation now, not crime, inflation, they were calling for his resignation. He had to go in the night. So my thing is, people don't care about policy and what the government policy is and whatnot. When people, as citizens, see something that is perceived, and women not only perceive, but they can see things that are happening, they didn't even know what the government policy is to begin with.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I don't think people aren't concerned about policy to the extent that they are interested in getting involved with all the details of it. But I can tell you, people are concerned about policy because whenever you see something wrong and you are saying the government needs to, the words turn to policy, because policy is government action toward problem solving in public matters. Okay, so it isn't true that they're not concerned. They're not going to be about, like me, talking about national security policy and education policy. But the extent to which they see a problem in education, think the government should do something about it, is the extent to which they want a policy that addresses it.
Yeah, but if you're talking about a policy like a manifesto type thing or our
That's your understanding of what policy is. Policy is any action taken by government to address a problem. Any. So if that's giving money, if that's putting police attention, if that's moving a law or amending a law or adding a law or appointing a judge, etc. Any action taken by government intended to resolve a problem is government policy.
Okay, but I said, because earlier in the conversation, you had said that Mr. Monroe may be advancing the government's policy in that particular area. So, I mean,
yes.
What is the government policy? The only policy we know from the government, and I think the government should let us know what their policy is besides the prime minister's national address to the people. But the only we know as a people, do you know what the government's policy is? I mean,
well, I do know what the government's policy is, because we invited the Minister of National Security to give a presentation at the University of the Bahamas Government and Public Policy Institute on national security policy of the Bahamas. He gave a very good presentation, quite frankly, outlining what his government's policy is. So yes, I know what his policy is.
So could you enlighten us? What is the so we can know?
Well,
okay.
One day I'll bring the speech.
Yeah.
I did.
So
I actually went
as
over
the
speech.
Can know,
I went over the speech on one show. You might have missed that show, but I did. I talked about his speech.
Mm-hmm. And so how is that policy relevant to? I mean, is it effective policy?
That's an entirely different. That's an entirely different question. See, an appropriate one. So I can tell you what the policy is, but whether it is achieving results that are meaningful for you, the public, that's a different story.
Yeah. See, Mr. Lang, as I go, the voting public judge the unemployment and crime. If the government can develop immigration as well. If any government comes in and they deal with crime and unemployment and immigration, they'll get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 terms. Okay? That's how the public looks at the government.
And I got you, brother. I got you. Thanks a lot. This text says, good afternoon. So wouldn't it be crazy for the police to share their crime plan with the general public? The government would have a layout, but the police would have the actual plan, which would be shared with us. Well, you're wrong about that, because the law requires the commissioner to publish the commissioner's policing plan. That's what the law requires. And you used to be a police officer. The law requires the commission to produce a policing plan and for that plan to be published. Right? Just listen, that's like saying a crime plan doesn't say I'm going to attack Johnny. The police says, tell us what they can do. The police say they have operation this and operation that and so forth, without saying, oh, well, you know, let me tell Charlie, they might come in Fidelin tonight at 6 p.m. That's tactical details. You don't need that. But for a public to cooperate with you in the conduct of your work, it's useful for the public to understand what you're doing. And that's why there is a call for a published plan, and a government should publish its plan. So it isn't crazy for the police to do that at all. It's Texas. Good day. Welcome back. But if Dr. Minnis was in the PM when he was, half of these people wouldn't be alive. Yes, Dr. Minnis was a tough cookie. He had this country ticking. We need to pray for our PM, FNM, or PLP. He's in charge now, and only God can help us. Crime is out of hand, and it's getting scary. Anyway, listen, let me pay our respects to our sponsors for these last final minutes, and then we wrap up when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I want to give you all an assignment in these last 3 minutes. I'm going to give you an assignment. Is that okay? If you have someone in your life, male or female, in particular male, but if you have someone in your life, male or female, who is between the ages of 15 and 35, you got it? Between the ages of 15 and 35. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make an attempt. Okay, I'm not saying you could be perfect. I don't make an attempt to ask you to assess this. On a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst to 10 being the best, ask yourself how much faith in God, whoever, however they define that God, but in most instances, we're talking about the Judeo-Christian God. How much faith do you think that 15 scale from 1 to 10? Then, on a scale from 1 to 10, ask yourself, how connected to family is that person? How connected, how loyal, how respectful, how caring are they to family on a scale from 1 to 10? Thirdly, ask yourself, if I take the three closest people they regard as friends, they hang out with, how much do I respect and regard their friends in terms of their friends' characters on a scale from 1 to 10? 1 being the worst, 10 being the less. If I take their three best friends, their three closest friends, the three people they spend the most time with, how much regard in terms of character, respect, respectfulness, manners, etc., do I have for their friends? And then finally, if they work, how committed and how productive and how highly regarded are they at work? If they don't work, then it's zero, right? If they work, then from a scale from how committed, productive, how much regard do they have for work on a scale from 1 to 10? Those four areas, faith, family, friends, and work. Do that assessment. Watch your eye open about these young people in your life, 15 to 35 years old. Do your work. I'd be happy to hear from some of y'all. God bless you. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang, your host. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. We have a very special guest tomorrow. Stay tuned. Take a stand. Everybody.